B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Touch Her Rich. Touch Her Rich. Touch Her Rich. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This is the top three Panhandle riff.
This is a great Panhandle.
1984 is a fantastic album. I bought it on...
There's no question.
I bought it on vinyl, and I gotta tell you, I let that run around.
Very good album.
Well, Rich, I'm being called an anti-masker. Which
oh, jeez, Fred. This listen.
But, I want to indulge these things. I'm an anti-masker.
You never said that.
They want to. Right, exactly. I'm an anti. I think that no one should wear a mask. Of course, I think that the least you could do is wear a mask. Jesus Christ, And they want to punch me in the nose, this and that. How could you talk to a medical?
What's going on?
A caller calls in. She says she's a nurse. How could you talk to her like that? I get to the point. Is my point? I'm trying to move things along.
Right, you showed her on
right.
Here. Come on.
I mean, you know. But everyone's gone. But bananas. Listen, my take again is this, and then we can have a discussion. Is that. With the, I don't know what's in store for the Patriots. If a bunch of people test, they got to shut down the facility today. There's no question. If more people test positive, they're going to have to review what they do on Sunday.
Yeah,
that's
people just
all
tuning
in.
If you didn't hear, Stephon Gilmore tested positive. This is on top of yesterday. Bill Murray, his actual player on the Patriots, but he was not on the planes. What we do know is that Stephon Gilmore not only traveled with the team, he was on the plane of people who had close contact with Cam Newton. On top of that, there's videos and there's pictures all over the internet now of after the game, him right in the face, talking very closely with Patrick Mahomes, which of course is the league's worst nightmare.
Yes, that is
laid
a
out
horrible visual.
Yeah, now, it doesn't look good.
Okay, so that's all up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen with the Patriots, so we can put that aside. We don't know. No one knows. We could call the biggest expert in the world and they wouldn't know. What we do know is what's happening with the Titans. Now, the Titans, as everyone knows, had a bunch, almost 20 positive tests. Okay? They then shut down the facility last Wednesday. Okay, so here we are on Wednesday. Now, this is what's interesting. Now, a player from Tennessee this morning, they were getting set to open up the facility. They needed 2 days without positive tests. A player has tested positive for the coronavirus, so they've shut down the facility again today.
Two players.
Okay, yeah. Two players.
Yeah.
So now here is the question. Now, this is the question that actually has an effect on the season. Because we don't know about the Patriots. So we all agree we don't know about the Patriots.
Correct.
Okay.
It's wait another 24 hours.
Yeah, we have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's off the table as far as I'm concerned because we don't know. We can only give you the information we know. Now, what we know about Tennessee, now here is what affects the NFL, in my opinion. That if the NFL says, okay, these two guys tested positive, we're not going to play the game on Sunday, that opens up the can of worms that, okay, are you going to have a season? That is what opens up this can of worms.
And by the way, this is if we believe that the Titans have done everything right since they shut down. Like if no player has been to the facility and the players have not been amongst each other, then that does lend to the question, well, the facility, if you remove those two players, the facility seems to probably be a place that is safe and COVID-free right now. There's a lot of things, you know, how many days things incubate or whatever, but I understand what you're saying with that. And here's why I'm really pissed if they end up canceling this Titans game, is because we were going to get to see the Titans go up against the Bills. Really, some of the first actual competition that the Bills have been able to face. And I just knew that this was going to be the week that Josh Allen turned back into a pumpkin because of this quote and this quote alone. Brett Favre said this about Josh Allen this weekend.
His time is now. Yeah. And I think it's going to be for quite a while. And I think Josh Allen will be the new Tom Brady
you know, at some point.
You say something like that, you are just, it's, this is the week. This was the week.
Oh,
once
boy.
That was flown out into the universe, the, just the whole, like, energy of the solar system just goes, nope, and just takes all the talent out of Josh Allen, and he falls on his ass because you cannot put that statement into the universe about Josh Allen without the world finding some sort of balance.
All right, so what do we know about Josh Allen? He has a very strong arm, so he's unlike Brady. He's exceptionally mobile, unlike Brady.
He's fast.
Yeah, that's right. He's exceptionally mobile, unlike Brady. And he has the decision-making of a four-year-old that you just handed a ping-pong ball to.
Right. And he's going to get injured very soon. But I mean, the fact that, listen, who cares about Brett Favre? I don't really care about his opinion. But the fact that somebody actually said that and put that into the universe, you know that he will be punished for that. There is going to be some sort of strange thing that goes, yeah, we got to put you right back into reality. And that's why I'm bummed. And the other reason I'm bummed is that it sounds like, to me, if this stuff continues to just snowball with the Titans, then the commissioner's going to have to deliver on his promise that he's going to punish teams by making them forfeit games.
Yeah.
And that would immediately make the Bills 5-0, especially against a team that we knew was a legitimate good team and would have given them some competition at home. So, I mean, well, there's so many weird things that are happening with all this. But more than anything, I just wanted to see Josh Allen finally fall to earth.
I have one. I got a buddy of mine who's a Cleveland Browns fan that just texted me and said, the Browns are 3-1. Of course they're going to stop the season.
Well, this is the case. This is the thing with Tennessee, is that they have to figure out, do we cancel the game not knowing where the guy got COVID? That's the thing that they're going to have to do. So we'll see how that plays out. Dan, go ahead.
Oh, my God. I'm on Team Freddy. See, I'm not working this entire goddamn time.
Hang on, Dan. I will say one thing. None of us are arguing. None of us on the show are arguing. This is
me versus
the listeners.
You can hear me.
This is, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, throw away your mask. No one should wear a mask.
Outside. No.
I'm joking. Go ahead.
I'm just saying. This is turning into the religion and politics talk. You're not going to get anything. You know, you get a nurse practitioner calling in, and then you get a doctor to contradict it immediately. So there's no winning. I'm on team. Just play. Okay. Ooh, you're going to get 16,000 kids die every single day.
All right. That's a different point than what Fred's making.
I know, but we still venture out in our cars, and there's an inherent risk with life. So,
That is not at all what Fred's saying. You are not on Team Fred. You are on Team Maniac. That is not at all what Fred's saying.
All I said was, what I'm saying is that with they got to shut down the facility for the Patriots and see what happens. But with the Tennessee thing, I'm of the mind that they should play.
Yeah, if they weren't together and no one was at the facility, I don't see the harm in removing them and testing everyone else. Like, yeah, that's different than what's going on with the Patriots. That just seems like, to me, math and common sense shows that this could possibly work. The Patriots are in the middle of a cluster F. I don't know how you play that game this weekend.
We'll have to see.
They have back-to-back days today and tomorrow of negative tests. The game goes on.
Yes. And we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
Regardless of incubation periods. Do you agree with that, Rich?
No.
Really?
I don't. I think they're going to look at what happened with Tennessee and how the outbreak happened after they traveled and how many days it took for some of these people to be positive.
I know, but
and they're going to say three's enough.
But Tennessee didn't have two back-to-back days of negative tests all last week. There was always one day, two the next day, three the day after that. That's the difference.
But I think everything's changed since then. I think it's changed because they saw that it continued to roll out that way.
Well, now, if that's the case, why didn't the NFL just cancel it today?
Well, it just happened. The news just broke.
Less than an hour ago. I know, but there's a guy who used to write for the Denver Post, now works for a television station in Denver, that called the NFL office about 20 minutes ago after they got the news. They probably knew about the positive test last night and said, is the game on? And the NFL office told him, yes, the game is still on.
They said, stand by, though. It's like, and that's what the Pelissimo guy said. And I would say the same thing if I was the league. I was like, I got to find out what the hell happened here. And we got to figure out whether or not he's had, like, this test is one that's been confirmed, you know, because you've heard this happen where they get the one and then they got to do the second one. I think that it has been confirmed with Gilmore.
See, I'm of the mind if they have two days of negative testing, that they should play the game. That's my opinion. But again,
I'm predicting what the NFL would do, not right. what I think is right. I think that they're going to have to look at this and go, you know, what if? You know, what if what happened? I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe if they have 2 days of negative tests, you might be right. But the thing is if you're the Patriots, you can't get back to the facility until Saturday, which is going to be, you know,
it's not fair, but it's the way things are.
You knew this was going to happen to a team, and, you know, the arrow wound up pointing at your team. I mean, it's just bad luck, but this is what there's going to be at least one other NFL team that goes through this.
It's going to happen. That's why it's all so fluid, which is why Tennessee is what to keep an eye on right now. Because we know what's going on with Tennessee. All right. Aqib Talib will never join us.
I mean, come on.
One and done, baby.
I love Brandon Merriweather. He was worth waiting for, but he batted about 500 being on time.
So is Aqib. There it is. It's 500. Right now. He's one-on-one off. I mean, that's all we have.
That's all we got right now. That's right. Who knows? We live in such a random universe. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. This is my opinion, the best Van Halen song.
This is what they led with. This is the one song you were here for. You were at the concert for.
And then when Dave wouldn't sing it,
Diamond Dave started speaking and Fred was taillights.
He didn't sing the song.
Speaking? I think you're being very polite.
He was not putting words into the microphone. He was holding the microphone out for the fans. And that's inexcusable. The first song, I'll give the old man, like, some time to get, you know, I'll give him, like, you know, halfway through the show.
Yeah, he needs a pit stop. He needs a song for a pit stop.
Yeah, and I get
it. Yes, I get that.
You know, he's moving around. He's dancing with his ballet shoes on. But first song, sing it.
Is this, hang on, just pot that down, Dan. Let me hear this.
That was released.
They released this.
They put their name on this. This is not a bootleg.
No.
I mean, you know what? The sad part about that was the rest of the band had it. Eddie had it. Eddie is as old as Dave. Eddie had it. The night we saw him, Fred, Eddie was there.
Oh, yeah.
And Alex was there.
And I've seen shows where Eddie was not there. But that night, you're right, he was on. So, and that was a shame. But then again, don't say I didn't warn you, Fred. I told you over and over, dude, you're going to... David Lee Roth sucks.
You have to understand how little I was expecting. I didn't care if he hit the notes. I didn't care about anything. I wanted him to sing. To sing into the microphone. I mean, to give up first 30 seconds of the show. And by the way, that's no, operatic song that requires a lot of out of you. I mean, that's, I mean, what are there, 30 words in that song? I mean, it's not like Unchained is some Bohemian Rhapsody.
No, I mean, yeah. Put it on your chow. Just shoot it on your chow. What do you mean, a poor?
I mean, Unchained is the easiest song in the world to sing. Nothing stays the same. You don't even have to sing Unchained. But he doesn't even sing that. But you hit the ground running.
Chained. He might be worse live, Fred, than Vince Neil.
Okay, let's not go crazy.
He might be worse than Vince Neil. There's not a chance. I mean,
no. Dave looks good. He's in shape.
He moves like a decrepit robot.
No, but physically, just looking at him, looks like himself.
Vince Neil looks, honestly, like, it's disturbing. Like, he could
explode. They're number 10 when they stand next to each other.
Well, Vince is like Lord of the Rings.
I mean, Tommy wrote Tommy Land 15 years ago, and he's still making fat jokes about
Vince is an orc.
Plus, Vince is just such a horrible person.
I mean, that's
like David Lee Roth.
Documented.
David Lee Roth had a very interesting life. He would goes and climbs mountains in the Himalayas. He was an EMT in New York City for a while. Yeah. Like at least he, now it didn't translate to radio, but at least he's had a he's a fascinating person and a great front man in his heyday. Yeah, Vince Neil is just a fat murderer.
I mean, he did kill a guy driving.
He killed a guy in a drunk drive. And listen, I went to rehab, whatever. I didn't kill a guy. He killed a guy, and he's still out there blatantly alcoholic and all over the place. I mean, at least drink in your room. you're going out like... Dude, you're like 60 and you're still doing that stuff? I mean, relax.
Let me hear this one.
Better than Vince.
I don't know about that, man.
I'm not defending him by any. I left the show.
I know.
We must have been at that. We must have been at the Garden for an hour.
Yep.
I mean, the stupid Cool in the Gang and the,
what? Yeah, they brought Cool in the Gang.
Stupid.
As the opener.
Nothing stupid about that.
You didn't watch Cool in the Gang.
I absolutely did.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did. He
was I was all by myself in that damn box for about an hour watching.
It looked like an accounting agency was up on stage.
Yes, they were good. They didn't have JT out front. I mean, you need JT out front for some of the songs.
Is that the name of the guy? I wouldn't know.
Yeah, yeah. James
Cool
Taylor.
Cool in the Gang not representing all cultures that evening. Cool in the Gang looking very middle-aged and buttoned up.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, right.
You sing it.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah. That was a Vince Neil trick, too. You sing all the words. Well, I'm going to sit here and huff.
Yeah, Rich was in a band called Miller's Tale that opened up for Vince Neil in Michigan, and like on 36 Mile. And they were playing a theater, and Rich's band was great. And I'm not just saying that, they were great. And then Vince comes on with a bucket of beer. He walks on stage with a bucket of beer, puts it on a stool. He's got like a Johnny Bahama shirt or whatever the hell they're called. Tommy Bahama shirt on. And he proceeds to not sing. He just, just the whole thing was. And those songs are not vocal gymnastics either. Because he's like, kickstart my heart. He's like, ha!
What? Ha!
Vodka!
B! Ha! The heat. Oh, yeah. It was bad. But he had a... like the keyboardist at Soundcheck, you know, there was a guy who was playing keyboard, and like a lot of his vocals were triggered by keys that he would like do. So anytime it sounded like there was like a really good, like, wow, he's really hitting these notes, it was a guy pressing a key that was going, whoa, yeah. Kickstart my heart. Then he would have to do his own, whoa, yeah. Like all the big choruses were played on a keyboard and with like these samples that would go over the speaker. So no, not the best of singers. Not the best of shape.
I don't know. He's a fat pig. Coming from someone very out of shape, I can safely sit here in my glass house and call him a fat pig. All right, I don't know who this is, but you guys talking about Van Halen and crew?
I just want to talk about, actually, you're talking about like Vince Neil. I'm not sure. Have you seen The Dirt on Netflix?
Yes. It does not do the
it
book any
easily,
justice. It
is like the worst movie I have ever seen in my life. I've seen it like 15 times with my best friend, and we just make fun of it. There's that scene after like the whole car crash incident with like Neil, and then all of a sudden, like what happens? Dead silence. A line that comes in: "Crap, Razzle was dead." It's like it's supposed to be the most amazing, like heartbreaking. None of that movie makes me feel bad about it. Like it's supposed to be like Vince. Oh, I feel so bad that you're a horrible human being and that this happened to your kid. And it's like, what justifies me feeling this bad for him? Like what at all? Like it's just, I hate that band. Motley Crue sucks.
Thanks, guys.
All right. The book is one of the best books you'll ever read, and I'm not saying that any hyperbole. It is the best. I love that.
There's a lot of darkness.
It's probably my favorite book. Right, yeah, yeah.
But I will tell you something. I'm going to give everyone a gift right now, so everyone get out a pen and pencil. There is a brief YouTube documentary, and it's a guy that won a contest.
Lost Weekend. It's the best. It is the absolute. Watch it today. It's, if you want to know, Fred, backstage debauchery has never been
and
like this.
Fun. Like, they just had so much fun. It's Van Halen at the height of their debauchery, and this guy, put yourself in now in this day and age. This guy, legitimately, this hick, won this contest to spend
a
weekend.
He was a nerd. That was the thing. Was he was like a kind of a nerdy dude.
But it's all on the level. So he wins this contest to go spend a weekend with Van Halen. Now think in 2020, I win a contest to be with Post Malone. And think of what my daily routine would be like. Oh, you went to like a album signing and, hey, you know, it's backstage and he brings you on stage and says hello. This guy goes backstage with his friend for a weekend. They... cocaine, alcohol that you would never imagine, little people, whores, strippers.
And what made it even worse is that it was an MTV contest, and MTV was there filming the entire thing, and Van Halen loved that the cameras were there. So they basically treated this guys like a Weekend at Bernie's situation. They got him so drunk and high and out of his mind that they just had to carry him around everywhere.
He won.
And they would say, what do you think about MTV?
He won an MTV contest, and David Lee Roth was plying him with cocaine and booze and whores.
On camera.
On camera.
What's the name of this thing?
Lost Weekend.
Lost Weekend.
Awesome.
All right.
So picture 2020 winning a record label contest and just how boring and vanilla it would be. This guy is doing cocaine, drinking, and they're whores. On camera with Van Halen to be broadcast to the world. It is a tale of two eras.
And he's such like a nerd, and they interview him now and his friend, and I mean, this is all the stuff that was on cameras. You can't believe what happened off camera because they captured everything.
And it's unfortunately like the highlight of the guy's life. And there you go. It was a different time, and Van Halen were the epitome of a party band. And even though Alex apparently was a huge prick, they did have their fun. Unlike Motley Crue, who were dying and killing people and everything else. But, all right, Rich, what's coming up in the old Stackarooski?
All right. Well, Mike Leach is a weirdo, and Aaron Rodgers loves himself some Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, he makes you not like him every day. All right, here are the headlines.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now, back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Johnny Boy, what's going on?
Stack is brought to us, Fred, by Window Nation. It's their buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out online at windownation.com.
All right, Rich, what's up?
You know, with Eddie Van Halen passing, there are so many people putting memories and, you know, great thoughts about times that they had with Eddie Van Halen. But I think my favorite story that has come out over the last couple of years, and I mentioned it maybe a couple months ago, but it's worth revisiting. So there's a brand new book that's coming out called Eruption in the Canyon, 212 Days and Nights with the Genius of Eddie Van Halen. It's like a photo book, and it's a guy who spent a lot of time with him, I think between 2004 and 2007. So, as a matter of fact, they didn't like the results of this book, so it ended up in court, but it's going to come out now. But there's one story in here that is just, it speaks to how insane Eddie Van Halen could be. So I guess in like 2005, 2006, Fred Durst.
Yes.
Approached Eddie Van Halen. This was after Wes Borland had left the band, left Limp Bizkit, and just said, hey, man, what do you say we jam together? They were at some party together. And Eddie Van Halen was like, sure, all right. And Fred's like, what? Really? Okay, fine. So according to the article, it says the session went ahead at the house in Beverly Hills, but Van Halen, who's not a fan of weed, left abruptly after people began smoking it, leaving guitars, amps, and other equipment behind. Bennett said that afterwards, the guitarist described the jam as, quote, like being a scholar amongst kindergartners. The following day, Van Halen contacted Durst to recover his gear. The guitarist was still upset about the experience, and after not hearing back from Durst after 24 hours, he decided to take matters into his own hands. Quote, Eddie once bought an assault vehicle from a military auction. It has a shine gun mount on the back, and it's not legal. Eddie drove that assault vehicle through L.A. into Beverly Hills, then parked it and left it running on the front lawn of the house that Limp Bizkit was rehearsing in. He got out wearing no shirt, his hair in a samurai bun on top of his head, his jeans held up with a strand of rope, and combat boots held together by duct tape, and he had a gun in his hand. That a-hole answered the door, Eddie Van Halen said. I put my gun to that stupid effing red hat of his, and I said, where's my blank, mother effer? That blanking guy just turned out to be one of his employees and starts yelling at him to grab my blank. Eddie Van Halen stood on the front lawn of a residential home in Beverly Hills in broad daylight, smoking a cigarette while holding a gun on Fred Durst as he went back and forth from the house to the assault vehicle, lugging guitars and amps. That's rock and roll.
Yeah. That's like money.
That is rock and effing roll right there.
Yep.
Driving an assault vehicle through Beverly Hills. Oh, man. I wonder if there's a picture of that in this book that he's got coming out. That would be fantastic. Him shirtless with the samurai bun on his head.
Yeah. With putting a gun in Fred Durst. There should just be a book called Putting a Gun in Fred Durst. Scenes from 1985.
Oh, phenomenal. Well, it looks like the Lakers won again last night. Oh, hey, well, maybe LeBron afterwards said something that wasn't totally cocky.
KCP and Markieff both talked about a text that you sent saying that this is a must-win game. What was it about today that prompted you to do that?
When I woke up from my nap this morning after our team meeting, I just felt that. I felt that vibe. I felt that pressure. I felt like, for me personally, this was one of the biggest games of my career. Just wanted to relay that message to my teammates, the type of zone I was in, type of moment it was, because I just know how great of a team that we're playing against. And after the game three win, the confidence that they had, that they still have, even after tonight's loss, they're just a gritty, so damn well-coached team. But I feel like if we want to be a championship ball club, if we really want to be a championship team, that we got to have that same grit and that same attitude. So it's just my mindset. I'm kind of still in it. Obviously, my mind kind of working right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, I saw the text saying this is the most important game of my career. So play well.
I saw the little birds flying above his head.
I'm always on, man. Can't you tell?
Dude, I just picture a guy with the Burberry umbrella coming up and putting a light bulb over his head.
All right.
Yes. Yeah. The man has ideas.
I'm not torn on who I want to win this because I hate LeBron. I just absolutely despise the guy for reasons you just heard part of that. But it hurts to root for that Tyler Herro guy after that stupid snarl thing that he did the other day.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get it over his head. He's going to start doing some dumb stuff.
I agree. And you know what? There's really not a lot to hate about the rest of the team. Like, I mean, I've to be honest, I've done a 180 on Jimmy Butler. My respect level for him has really changed. I thought he was a whiner, a team ruiner, and he showed up.
He was up until this year. That's exactly what he was. Chicago didn't want him. He went to Minnesota. Remember all the screaming and yelling he did when he was with Minnesota? I mean,
Best story of him in Minnesota is when he was saying he wanted off the team, and he just showed up to practice, and they were scrimmaging, and he just went off for like 30 points and walked out.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like, and you guys. And Rachel Nichols was waiting for him, remember?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep, that's right. Be here because I want to start talking trash on the team, and he called Rachel Nichols there.
Yeah. And then he was in Philadelphia for a year. It's like, F this, I'm not coming back to this team, and this is where he landed.
But he got to be with his buddy. He got to be with his buddy, Dragic.
That those guys love Jimmy Butler. They do.
Yeah. Oh, Dragic and him are like, Dragic won't leave the court without Jimmy Butler. He like waits around for him. It's very cute.
Adebayo loves him. I mean, here, like, they all love Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's the first guy there, last one to leave. He's everything you want in a player this year. And I never thought I would ever say that about that guy. But you know what? He's proved everyone wrong. And I love the way he plays. And it sucks that I've that Tyler Hero douchebags on that team, because ever since I saw that, he didn't bother me until the snarl. Then I'm like, all right, man. What are we doing?
Butler's earning his money. You know, he's making $30 million a year, and he's worth every penny of it.
Single penny. And he's a closer. And that's the one thing as a Celtics fan that you just long for. You want that guy who says, give me the damn ball at the end of the game. And right now, they don't have him. Maybe they'll get him. Maybe one of these guys will develop into that. Who knows? But right now, Jimmy Butler is that guy. Speaking of that guy, Aaron Rodgers, you know who he likes? He likes Aaron Rodgers a lot.
Every team is different. Every year is different. And, you know, circumstances in any year which allow you to have more success or make it more difficult for success just kind of depends on the situation. It does help being in the second year, for sure. I feel a lot more comfortable. But, you know, I sometimes laugh when people talk about, you know, down years for me, because a lot of times down years for me are career years for most quarterbacks. Oh!
What the hell happened?
I don't know. It was the jubilation.
Oh! Yeah! And
someone got very...
You tell him, Aaron!
That was the backing vocals for Kickstart My Heart when Vince Neil gets out.
I'm sorry. I cut it off before it was over.
It sounds like a gremlin, by the way. During the beginning of it, it sounds like he's got a... whatever becomes a gremlin. When he was talking in the beginning. Maybe it finally appears.
So I guess he ends it with this.
Hey, it's just the facts, bro.
Oh,
ew.
Yuckaroo.
You even ruined the State Farm commercial. You make me like the agent.
Which I think is the opposite of what you're supposed to
be. No, you're supposed to think the agent's some loudmouth and the guy from State Farm's the even keel dude, but you just end up hating everyone.
All right. I don't know what this clip is, but I just know that if it involves Mike Leach, it's going to be good. Mike Leach, obviously the head coach at Mississippi State University, the man of 1,000 sound bites. Apparently, something happened during his press conference yesterday. Let me take a listen.
See, I'm going to get my grandkids one of these things so that they can, you know, my daughter and her husband, they need to hear this, because I went through years of random noises and rambunctiousness and broken toys.
Yeah. Hang on. That's a noise from his phone? He's playing that on his phone into the microphone?
All right. So Mike Leach is the greatest human being in the world. First of all, he seems like he's always high.
Yeah.
Second of all, he like has all these weird things that he's into, and he doesn't care, and he'll say whatever he wants to say, and if you want to fire him, that's fine. He'll go somewhere else, and he's an offensive genius. He'll never be able to coach an NFL team. He'd last about 5 minutes. But just the idea that he could care less what you think about him at all.
Now that
he truly could care less.
By the way, Fred, now that I'm seeing that video, that's coming from his phone, which he's playing over the microphone. Like, he's just like, cool, man, makes a neat sound.
Yeah, he's like always high. He's just in his office, you know, doing cold fusion. I love Mike Leach.
I do too. I love that
he's
guy.
He's like intellectual in a world of idiots.
Yeah.
Everyone wants Saban. But then you get Leach.
Yeah, you get Leach. Way more entertaining and more fun to cover. So Russell Westbrook seems to be a pretty good guy. He left a $8,000 tip for the housekeepers after the NBA bubble when he left that. That is not bad.
Well, how long were they there for?
He was probably there for 2 months.
Yeah. And 2 months, and think of all that they probably got from the housekeeping staff. I mean, it's not like a normal stay at a hotel. They were probably waiting on hand and foot. $8,000 shouldn't even be a news story. They all should have left $8,000.
But they didn't, for 2 months. But they didn't, which is why $8,000 is a news story.
Well, the story should be other people didn't leave $8,000.
No. Yeah.
I mean, if you're staying in a hotel for 2 months, you're worth $100 million, and you have a staff waiting on you hand and foot. Yes, $8,000 is a good amount of money to pay them, to tip them.
Because if you're normally staying at a place for a weekend, you leave like a 20 on the desk, right? It's like a 20.
A weekend is, 10 or 20. Yeah,
it's like a 10 or
and
a 20.
And that's just for the maid service. That's everyone else that you, and plus everyone else that you have to tip while you're there. Because you tip the valets, you tip the concierge, you tip all those people. But if you're staying at somewhere for 2 months and you got that kind of money, I can only imagine the errands that they ran for them. Yeah, $8,000's the tip that you leave.
We might have to be, my wife and I might have to be watching two different shows this evening because she wants to watch the vice presidential debate. But for me, I can't wait to watch this wild card, the downfall of a radio loudmouth documentary. The Craig Carton thing debuts this evening.
Now, does he have a hand in it or is it?
He narrates part of it. But from what I'm seeing is, I guess there are a couple people in the press who got to see it. It's unbelievable. And, you know, if you don't know the story, Craig Carton was Boomer Esiason's partner.
Yeah,
on
he did
the,
Morning
on
Drive
radio.
On the Fan. Yeah,
yeah, Morning Drive on the
Thought
Fan.
To be afternoon host.
Yes. Yep. And right. The show was obviously very good. And Carton was a great guy. Seemed like a really nice guy. Funny dude. But he was really good at poker, right? Or blackjack. I forget which one it was. But he was really good at one of those two. And he started to take people's money and win them money. And in the middle of the night, he would fly to Atlantic City and then fly back right before the show was supposed to go on the air. And a lot of it he did without his wife knowing about it, apparently, anything like that.
This guy was working for the same company as us. We're on a major market doing mornings. He's on a major market doing mornings. We have better ratings than him.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's flying. He's got a helicopter flying him to AC, like
they're
leaving.
People are flying him.
Yeah, no, he didn't pay for that.
No.
No, I know. What I'm saying is that where is all this money? Well, how does he have all this money?
He knew people who thought that he was so good at poker that he could go, if they gave him $200,000, he could go in a night and turn it into $300,000. So they would do that. And he would fly out there and he'd come back. But it ended up, he started, as a lot of people do gambling, getting debts. And then he started this Ponzi scheme or a fake ticket scheme where he was selling tickets to shows and he got, you know, messed up with a bunch of people who were into all of that. And then, you know, the government caught their eye and they brought him down. And he was in big trouble as far as the amount of money that he owed to a ton of people. And on top of that, it was fraud, a big thing of fraud because of these tickets. And this is a documentary. Boomer's on it. A lot of the people who worked with Craig Carter, a lot of people who were our old bosses are on it. But this is going to be, and apparently it's really good. Even
when
though he's part of it, it's fair.
When and where?
Tonight. It's tonight on HBO, I think.
It's just the amount of money that Craig Carter had. My goodness. I mean, what a lifestyle.
It's not a good lifestyle. Like when you hear about how many hours, he didn't sleep. He would leave and at night when his kids would go to bed, fly out to Atlantic City, stay up all night, and then roll in time for the show and didn't sleep.
But he's like the king of New York. He's got, you know, the car services and everything else. And meanwhile, we're schlubbing by.
The king of New York with people waiting for him with baseball bats.
Well, that's part of what comes along with it. I mean, if you want a documentary made about you, you can't, you know, be living in Newton.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have something going on.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a place in the Hamptons. He's got this, you know, this mansion in the Hamptons. My goodness gracious. Where is all this money? We worked for the same effing company. We had better ratings.
That's true.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Where's our cake? I get Boomer because he's, you know, on the NFL today and he's flying on doing Westwood One stupid Monday Night Football broadcast for no reason. And then, but where's our cake? Come on. All right. Well, there you go. Today we had breaking news during the show, and the other shows can pick up that story. As Stephon Gilmore, we'll see what happens with the Patriots as all those things get sorted out. It's very sad that Eddie Van Halen has left us, and even more sad that they were so terrible, Van Halen. David Lee Roth was so terrible that my dream was to see them and then to have to walk out because my youth was ruined. 2 minutes into the show was very disappointing. All right. Well,
Cam Newton just now tweeting something, not giving an update on his health. It's just a picture of him with his mask on that says, wear your mask, keep your distance. So no real update there. So there you go. I wonder if because they closed the facility, whether he can even test today. Because if that's the case, he wouldn't even play.
They got to have a way that they test him, I would imagine. But what do I know? This is all, again, all hypothetical, and I don't know. And the league doesn't seem to really know. So here we are. By the way, if you went by my text, my best friend and my family would be CVS. They're always good for about 5 texts a day.
Mm-hmm. I'm a nice man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what you do, go out there and peep some butts today. Because that's what it's all about. Just listen to the ass man.
Mm-hmm.
And look at Johnny, not Johnny Walgame, look at Solak with his Mr. Sid shirt on.
Sweet. I have a hoodie like that, too.
I think everyone who's ever worked in radio has the Mr. Sid.
Mr. Sid. Yep.
I think that is the case. All right, everyone, enjoy their day. Have a great day. That'll do it for us. Bye.